Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Taekwondo Life Magazine Live. My name is Mark Sirianis. I'm your host. I'm a third Don Black Belt, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Taekwondo Life Magazine. We have the pleasure today to have gentlemen from the world-famous PKA Worldwide. Any of you who have been with us over the years know a little bit about PKA from the work that we've done. We've covered whether it be the Taekwondo Hall of Fame, whether it's been our interviews with Superfoot Bill Wallace, and I'm going to give these gentlemen an opportunity to talk a little bit about the history and a little bit about what's coming up. It's really, really exciting. But before we do that, BetOnline is our sponsor today. As always, basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchups, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all your sports bet wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use your promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet online where the gaming starts. All right. Well, thank you. And now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's have a little bit of a conversation. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. Maybe we can start. Joe, you can introduce yourself and we can move over to Jeff. You guys can tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll talk a little bit about why you're here. So Joe.
Great. I'm Joe Corley. I started as a Tung Sudo guy years ago, and my instructor started calling it Taekwondo after that became practical. But in fact, I started in Tung Sudo, and I made it through a third degree by 1972, and then we began to Americanize what we did. And then Jeff and I were happy enough to be promoted to 10th degree black belts back in 2016 on the same night, promoted by our friend Glenn Keeney, with our certificate signed by Alan Steen and Pat Burleson and Grandmaster Pat Johnson. So we had some great Tung Sudo and Taekwondo guys both signing our certificates. We kind of took off on the PKA path at the same time. I was a judge in the first world title fights where Jeff won his light heavyweight world title. Bill Wallace won his middleweight title. And of course, Joe Lewis won the heavyweight title. Isaias Duenas from Mexico, another good Taekwondo guy, won the lightweight title. And watching Bill fight, I saw how weak and slow he was that night. So I decided to challenge him for the world middleweight title 8 months later. And he was a little faster by then and a little more powerful. So that didn't end as well for me as I had planned, but it gave me the enthusiasm to want to follow this this sport for the next 4.8 decades. In the meantime, we put together 1,000 hours of programming on ESPN, NBC, CBS, Showtime, Turner Sports, USA Network, et cetera. And we always got good ratings. And once the UFC came along and they showed by putting a fair amount of money into the sport that it could become a real financial franchise, then we thought this would be a great time for us to come back and take a second shot at it. So we have assembled all of the great people. You know, Jeff Smith is a president of sports in our group, and then he's joined by two presidents on the business side, Rich Rose, who ran Caesars World Sports for 10 years, and Howard Dorgan, who owns the Syracuse Crunch for the last 29 years, has done a great job with his AHL team that feeds the NFL, or NHL, I should say. And then, of course, we get great people like Rick Rufus, you know, who is now our director for global fighter development. So when we start getting the fighters together, then Rick can sit down with them and tell them what it's like to start as a 10-year-old and then become, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Sure. He can give them direction. Jeff can give them direction. Jeff can teach school owners how to become millionaires. He can teach, fighters how to become millionaires. Rick can tell them how to punch and kick and be the very best they can be. So we've got a great team. So that's all I have to say, and nice being here with you.
Well, that's great. That's terrific.
I don't know if there's anything left.
Nothing left to say.
I got a ton of questions. So if you guys would rather, I could throw some questions at you, and maybe you guys, whoever feels fit to answer it. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, obviously, this is a storied and a historic organization. You're going through some changes now. Where are you currently? Are there currently matches that are currently occurring under PKA? Are those being televised? Are they at live venues? Or if not, when can we expect to see those, and how can we expect to see those?
Let me take that one to start with. We've spent the last 8.5 months getting ready to get ready. So we've assembled the team. We've expended the dollars necessary to make all of the great contacts. We've got creative artists agency representing us for television. We're talking to every broadcast network that you can possibly imagine. We've had no no's from anybody. So everybody's taking a look at what we want to do. And it's our objective to, one of the phrases we've used, Mark, has been, as it was, so shall it be again. But it'll be bigger, better, stronger, because we were the pioneers. We took all the arrows before.
Sure.
So we're doing everything we can so that when we start, we won't have any false starts. Jeff and Rick can both tell you about how we've gone about finding the greatest strikers on the planet. And so we're signing up the big names, and at the same time, we're figuring out who the Jeff can tell you how we did that. We started in New York. Jeff, you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, we thought we would give everybody a chance. When we did the first World Championships in the PKA back in 1974, there was a rating system for the fighters at that time. And so they just took the number one fighter in each of the weight classes, which, of course, was Joe Louis in the heavyweight, and I was number one in the light heavy, and Bill was number one in the middleweight, and Howard Jackson was number one in the lightweight. So we got to represent the United States in that first PKA World Championships that Mike Anderson and Joe Louis actually put together and was televised. And so we thought, rather than not have a rating system right now, what we would do is go around the country and give these guys a chance to show us their goods. And we didn't do it as a competition. We did it as an audition. In other words, we got to find the best kickers and punchers that were out there, and they would go. And in our new modern PKA Worldwide, we're doing kickboxing in a cage. You know, originally we were in the ring with ropes, and it just seems that people are in tune to the cage now. They like that octagon, and it actually opens up the ring a lot more. You know, a ring with the four sides, the four corners, it's easy to trap a guy in the corner, and he doesn't get a chance to utilize his technique as well. Of course, that was part of the strategy of trying to catch the guy in the corner or keep from getting caught in the corner. But now it's a new open ring strategy because you got the octagon and the angles in the corners are open enough that you don't get trapped in that corner. You got a lot more mobility and more room within the ring. You know, somebody like a Rick Rufus, always to his advantage, you know, with him kicking and moving the way he does, it would be a much harder for somebody to get caught in a corner. But, you know, that's why we want the exchanges, not, you know, toe-to-toe exchanging punches. But, you know, we love those Taekwondo kicks. You know, nobody kicks better than the Taekwondo guys. So Absolutely. They get a chance to utilize their techniques more now. So, you know, Rick Rufus fighting in a MMA event or a low kick thing, it's taking away his good techniques. And that's why we were really disillusioned with the style of fighting that's going on now. You know, they're rough and tumble and they're, you know, they're ground and pound and they're, you know, they're submitting guy, you know, choking them out and joint locking them. But our real essence and our background is with Taekwondo and the kicking. You know, Jun Ryu was my grandmaster and sure. He was the first one to teach Taekwondo in America. And, you know, I had such a big influence from him after being with him for so many years that we wanted to showcase this type of martial arts where there's more kicking knockouts or punching knockouts rather than getting them on the ground and pounding them out or getting them on the ground and choking them. When you watch those kind of events live, you really miss the action because they're down on the ground and you can't see it.
Sure. So,
with this new version of no low kicks, and you know, some people say, well, why don't you allow low kicks? You know, I always use the analogy is that anybody in the first a week of studying martial arts can do a low kick. But sure. If to kick above the waist where you're kicking and reverse kicking and jumping or doing more flashier kicks like you saw Rick Rufus do years ago, you know, nobody is doing as good as Rick used to do now. You know, it's supposed to, you know, our martial art is supposed to evolve. But when you look at it, it not only flatlined, but it went down. The quality of the kicks, you watch the old Rick Rufus fights and they would be highlights on any UFC fight. And that's what we're bringing back. And that's why we felt it was so important to get Rick in there, because I really felt that he was one of the best of all time in utilizing those solid, not just kicking his leg and pumping it in the air, but I mean actually knocking people crazy with those kicks and reverse kicks and X kicks and all kinds of flashy stuff. And when you look at, you have to realize he was doing this, 20, 25 years ago or a little more. And, you look now, you accelerate martial arts 25 years, we would expect it to have gone off the charts by now. But because the rules have allowed the techniques to be held down. See, when because you kick somebody...
Because they're attacking the guy's leg. What other sport on planet Earth allowed you to go in and destroy an athlete's legs?
Sure.
None. Imagine how crazy that sounds. Say again, Rick.
A prime example, Israel Adesanya, I think it is, that fought Saturday, moves a lot. He's very hard to hit. The guy kept kicking the calf. He said, I felt like I was dead in the mud. I couldn't move. And that's how I ended up knocking him out. He couldn't, he had nowhere to go.
Sure. Absolutely.
So we want to develop our own Tom Brady's, and our own Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady today if he was fighting or competing under the rules of football of 25 and 30 years ago. And you know, even then it was not okay to actually clip a guy, you know, go from the side and take his knee out. And in the martial arts of the kickboxing that's done around the world, they said, well, you're not allowed to kick him in the knee. Well, go back and show me how many kicks have ever been, any fighters have been penalized for kicking somebody in the knee. It's like in boxing. If you hold them, you're not supposed to, but how many people ever get penalized for holding? So So Jake Paul the other night holds, you know,
Anderson Silva
for, you know, I'm going to go back and look at it and determine just how much time he spent holding. And if it had been a PKA match, Mark, every time he held him, it would have been a minus point. So I'm going to score it like it would have been a PKA round. So Anderson Silva will win 10 to minus 3, 10 to 1. That'll be the way this.
Oh, that's
every
great.
Time the guy gets close, he just reaches. I mean, just like he's hugging him, you know, not like he wants to dance with him, but like he wants to love him.
Right. I love it. I love it. I love what you guys are saying. I think it's exciting. I think for those of us that are, you know, those of us that are Taekwondo is such a vast audience for our people, you know, appreciating good kicks. And we've covered so many of the kickers that end up in MMA, and many of them end up doing really, really well just because most of the guys they go against just don't have the ability to defend against that. They you know, someone's a good kicker. It's hard to match. Let's get into some nuts and bolts. What are we talking about in terms of approximately, if it's all fleshed out, how many rounds are we talking about? How many minutes?
Can I stop you just before you get to there? Because I think an important phase of what we're talking about, Rick has actually been in there. And I will tell you that I never fought the low kicks except for one time. But Rick fought in there, and I remember the first time I saw him fight, and the guy wasn't even – he was a Muay Thai champion and an undefeated guy, and he wasn't supposed to do low kicks. And all of a sudden, he started kicking
Rick
low.
They weren't allowed.
And the first round, this guy had never been knocked out or knocked down, and Rick annihilated him so bad, I didn't think he would even be able to come out for the second round because only did he knock him down, but – tell us about that fight and what happened in it, Rick, in that series.
So that was back in November of 88, USA versus the world. Our other icon, PK superstar Bill Wallace, was our coach. And Karen Turner was a promoter at that time. And there were not supposed to be leg kicks. And Bill is in the middle between the ties and us. And we're saying, you know, at that time I was pro PKA. I mean, I never knew what a leg kick was, a leg kick block, nothing. And there weren't supposed to be leg kicks whatsoever. So, you know, I was still young. I want to show the world and had all that piss and vinegar in me and just, you know, I went out. And first round, I annihilated him, and I broke his jaw. He spits his mouth guard out, blood all over the mat.
Oh, wow.
After two, he had major fouls. I still beat him up. They threw a bucket of ice across the ring.
Took him 5 or 6 minutes to get it cleaned up, to let him
get his head clear.
Right.
Yeah. That's wild.
It, you know, I don't know. They always call it the fight that changed the sport. I don't know how it changed it because it wasn't a fair thing at that time because there was never supposed to be leg kicks.
Sure, sure.
I'm a pro PKA fighter, and everyone knew that my thing was kicking. I mean, that's what I was known for. And, you know, guys would go right out exactly like Jeff and Joe were saying earlier. Go to your legs, take them out so you can't jump, spin, turn, or do any of that flashy kicks. And then you're heavy-legged, and then you're standing there like a bullseye target.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And I know, I think on the website, right, which is, let me just make sure I have it right, www.pkaworldwide.com. You have a lot of videos on there of and on your YouTube channel on a lot of the old historic fights are there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we sold the digital rights for our library to UFC's Fight Pass a couple of years ago. They haven't got it up yet, but it's we have every fight on there. Everyone in the 50 hours is representative of the quality of the athletes that we developed over those years. So you had asked about rounds. We're going to have our pro fights. We'll start at 5 rounds, you know, for the preliminary kind of guys. And then the world title fights will be 12 two-minute rounds.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great.
US titles will probably be 9 or 10 US.
Yeah, that's a whole different game. That's wild. That's great. I like that's very impressive. That's very impressive.
Well, you know, each fighter has got to kick 8 powerful times per round with kicks aimed above the waist. And so what was interesting in our first event there, we can talk about Julio Cesar Carlos before we finish, but he came in there and just was blasting people with kicks from all directions, like Rick and like Bill Wallace did. In fact, I had to ask him afterwards, I said, how many Bill Wallace seminars have you been to? He said, well, sadly, none, but I've looked at all of his videos and I've done my kicks based on what Bill told people to do. But Rick, we had one broadcaster the other day said, can you send me one fight so I'll have an idea how to wrap my young mind around it? Because I've grown up with leg kicks my whole life. He said, show me one fight that you think will really... So it's going to be hard to do one, but I'll send you the world heavyweight title fight between Bad Brad Hepton and Kerry Super Kicks Roop. But I've also got to throw another single round in of Rick Rufus as a 19-year-old fighting at Karate Mania 1 at the Battle of Atlanta. It's just real simple. Rick comes out. He picks up his front knee and does a pulling side kick into the guy's body. Then he picks up that front knee and does a hook kick next right across, misses his face, and then picks up his back leg like he's going to throw a front kick, turns it into a round kick, and drops him. And that all that happens is like 1, 2, 3, you know. And the guy's being surrounded by kicks. And that's what this Julio Cesar Carlos is doing to people. And that's the kind of fighting that we need, where people can... And you say, well, that's the exciting part. But yeah, but our guys will just kick your legs and destroy them. So imagine LeBron James is dribbling the ball down the court. And here comes a guy, you know, 6'8", 260 pounds, and just tackles him to the ground and holds him down. How does that affect his basketball?
Yeah, no question about it. I'm looking forward to seeing the display of skill and technique.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really going to be exciting. And I've been hearing about Sure, go ahead.
Other thing that separates us is back in the day when I fought 12 rounds, that you got to get ready for. That's a whole different animal.
Yeah, and Rick was throwing 13, 14, 15 kicks around in there. And the point I started to make when I got so excited and talked myself out of it was some of the MMA guys that came over and fought with us there in New York at the end. They said, I had no idea it was going to make me so tired to try to throw 8 kicks. He said, I'm used to throwing all my kicks down at the guy's legs, and I'm actually having to pick up my legs and use energy to kick. Well, yeah, that's true.
There's no question about it. And I've covered some of these, you know, more amateurish kickboxing events and things of that nature where there are these minimums. And a lot of these guys are very good with their hands, but the ones that are really, really not seasoned guys, they'll spend the last few 30 seconds of the match trying to catch up and get their minimum kicks in because they're not. And then you see a guy go in there who has real kicking prowess. And like you said, 8 kicks is the minimum they would throw anyway. So
we know that hurt us in our early broadcast. I ended up doing the commentary on about 1,000 hours worth of fights, and the new commentators that would come in, they'd always look for something different to talk about. So they'd always focus on he's getting his kicks in. So we actually start explaining to the people in the corner, you're not allowed to say things like you've got your kicks in. You know, you'd hear somebody say, you got your kicks in that fight. But, you know, Jeff and Rick are there fighting with their kicks. They're not just throwing them to get them in.
Sure, it's never a thought for them whether or not they're going to get their 8 kicks in, because of course they're going to get their 8 kicks in.
We had to change what a kick means. You have to be trying to kick the guy above the waist hard. Now, you can miss him, but you miss him because he got out of the way. You didn't miss him because you picked your leg up and just threw it out to tap him on the forearm.
Sure. Now, this is going to be a 3-judge. It's going to be a referee and then 3 judges making the decision on it if there's no TKO.
Exactly. Yes.
That's great.
We're either going to use a 10-9 round or we may use a 9.5. We're going to experiment with it again. We used to do there's a group of officials out there who say, well, you can cheat better if you just do the not half a point, because that way it won't look like I'm cheating so bad. And we said, well, when you cheat, we're going to know you're cheating, whether you do it at a half point or not. But it gives us a way, if a guy barely wins a round, not to have to call it a draw.
Sure. And our officials, you know, our chief officials and referees, we have Dan Bam Bam Stell, who's, you know, from California and has been doing this for I don't know what, Joe, 35 years now.
Yeah, since he was a fighter. Yeah.
And has really got the judges and the rules and everything down with his people.
That's great. So
it sounds really good.
That's good. It's so important. Officiating is really, really important in anything that we do. So tell me, where can we expect in the time that we have? We have limited time, unfortunately. We're gonna do a lot of posting. We're gonna get a lot of links, and we're gonna promote heavily as we go, especially in terms of events. But in terms of where people can find out about upcoming events, tickets, television rights, it's gonna all be on that PKAworldwide.com and your social.
Yes. Yeah, we have a good social media team now. Nicole did 6 years with ESPN on their digital social media thing, and her partner Riley, and they'll have us virtually everywhere as the time goes forward. They've been with us about 6 weeks now, really doing a good job. But if they go to PKAworldwide.com, we'll have a place there where everybody can leave us their contact information, and we'll be sending information out. But we're on Instagram. We've got him as a PKA_worldwide on Facebook. Same thing on Facebook. Instagram. Same thing on Twitter.
That's great, and we'll encourage everyone to go forward, and we'll provide all of those links in our post.
Yeah. Thank you. Look for us in January, February 2023. Starting the year off, we're going to be having our first televised fights, and we're negotiating on a couple of venues right now. So we're trying to decide between California and Texas and Vegas and Florida. New York might have an outside chance too.
We got some former world champion boxers who started in karate and taekwondo who didn't have amateur boxing careers who are looking to come back and fight in PKA, and some big name MMA guys that are looking to end their careers in PKA.
That's great. Now let me ask you a different question, which is that I know a lot of our audience are competitors. They're practitioners. Where can those guys, if men or women, I assume you're having women's divisions as well.
Yep.
If we have athletes who are interested in auditioning, athletes interested in trying out to compete, where would be the best place? How would they go about that?
If they go to the PKAworldwide.com, there's an area called Fighter Sign Up, and it says at the bottom of that list, it says Sign Up for Future Events, TBA. They can put all their information in there, and then Jeff or Rick or I, one of us will follow up with them as soon as possible and then get them in the loop so they'll know what to do, where to do it, when to do it, and all that kind of thing.
So they can expect that you'll be doing sort of regional or citywide types of open auditions, or are those going to be more on a private level, depending on how busy you guys are?
Yeah, we'll probably continue to do those. We've done five so far, and they've been very successful. We've got over 40 fighters that we would feel really comfortable putting in our broadcast. That can do anywhere from five rounds and up. And we've got some guys that have got records of, you know, 50 wins and 35 losses or 35 knockouts, not losses, 35 knockouts.
Sounds like my career.
Well, he sounds very exciting. It's only 35 losses. Yeah. So the idea is to have some really good key fighters and new guys. So looking at guys like Julio, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk enough about him, but anybody that can go and look up Julio Cesar Carlos and look at all of his footage.
And he's going to be, I think we're going to work with Andrew and you about getting him to, we'll do a specific a follow-up directly with him and talk to him about his Taekwondo training and his Taekwondo career so we could showcase him and showcase, you know, exactly what type of quality fighters you guys are going to be presenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and go to YouTube and go to YouTube and pull up Rick Rufus's old fights, and you're going to see the quality of the PKA
that
we're looking for.
We'll provide some links for those so that people have an opportunity to really see those. And in terms of weight divisions, there's so many questions that I have, but unfortunately we are going to wind down. But how many weight divisions are you guys thinking of doing, or has that been established?
We do have those established. And I think right now we have 12 weight classes, from the lightest up. And in the females, I think we have 8 weight classes. So those could even expand as we go. But, if you remember in the first PKA, there was only 4 weight classes.
Sure.
And then we expanded to 5 and then eventually more. So we're doing the spread of about 5 to 7 pounds per weight class right now. As you get in the heavier weights, it gets a little wider.
And, a lot of the fighters have eaten more Big Macs as kids than they used to. So you got 265 pounders now who ate all those, all those steroids in their hamburgers when they were kids.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. I'm really looking forward to it. In the last moments that we have, if you guys, anything you want to add, anything you want to share with our audience, anything that you want to bring to their attention, I'm happy to let you guys go ahead and.
Well, from my perspective, I think we've got about 100 million of us around the world from karate, taekwondo, and kung fu who stand up, punch, kick, and repeat, punch, kick, and repeat. Don't get on the ground and wrestle. We don't kick each other in the legs. So we reach out to all those people to be our future fighters and fans.
And we're looking to the Olympians, the Taekwondo Olympians, the karate.
211 countries.
And from those countries that we have, Herb Perez from the Taekwondo. Sure. And we have Toki Hill and the karate. And both of these guys were, gold medalists. And they're now really still heavy involved in their sport and international wide, with over 100 countries. And so we've been teaming up with them and trying to tie in because, in those associations like Taekwondo Olympics, they have nowhere to go. Can't do MMA because they have to learn a whole new sport of jiu-jitsu or ground fighting. And with ours, we'll be able to take them from those top Olympians where they have a professional career and we know that in Taekwondo and karate, between those two, they encompass probably 75% of every martial arts in the world.
It could be a tremendous pipeline. It really could be a tremendous pipeline.
That's what we're looking forward to.
Perez, of course, I know very well. He's been a guest on our show, and he was, as well as being a gold medal Olympian, my grandmaster was his coach.
No kidding.
For Master Park for his gold medal run. So that is a great pipeline, and he is definitely a guy who's got a good sense of old school combat. He knows it very well. So
he does the right things for the right reasons with the right principles. So that's why we're working with him.
And we're looking forward to showing that those Taekwondo guys can really, when you put them in the ring with the right set of rules, you're gonna see what those kicks can really do.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. Well, I'm for all of our audience, this is just a tip of the iceberg in terms of the amount of stuff with the history that PKA has and with what is current and what's going on. There's a lot more that we could share, and we're going to do that in future episodes. Like I said, we're going to be featuring Julio Cesar Carlos in a future episode. You can go over to www.pkaworldwide.com if you're interested in learning more about events, if you're interested in participating or auditioning. You can reach out to us, or of course you can reach out to these fine gentlemen and check out their social media. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online, and I want to thank you guys for the time. I know you guys are busy.
Thank you.
Very good to see you again. Jeff, Grandmaster Smith, see you again. We shared some time together, like I said, at the Taekwondo Hall of Fame dinner. And I really appreciate it, and we will look forward to really following this journey with you.
Okay, great. We'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Do you believe?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.